When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Okay, guys, my new favorite sponsor, Nuts.com. Check this out. They've got all kinds of organic nuts, seeds, superfoods, coconut oil. I mean, I get everything, whether it's my morning oatmeal. I get my whole raw walnuts that are organic. I get my parrot, her black organic sesame seeds. I get the organic coconut oil, chia seeds, spices, grains, things for smoothies, things for your yogurt, snacks, anything you want, they've got it. They've got the best options that are sugar-free, paleo-friendly, certified organic, certified gluten-free. Check it out right now. New customers can get 4 free samples. There are over 50 different options. That's a $15 value when you go to nuts.com, click on the mic, and enter my code SHRED, S-H-R-E-D. I'm pretty sure you guys know how to spell it. Right now, go. 4 free samples, 50 different options, $15 value, nuts.com. Enter the code SHRED. Go to nuts.com for more details. You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. And now, Jillian Michaels.
Hello, Manus.
Hello, Jillian.
How's everything going, old girl?
Very good. I sure like your cans.
Oh, my headphones.
I know.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen the show.
She didn't get it.
No, I got it, but I defaulted back to the actual headphones.
No, they're not. You look very, Yeah. Those are Betty Bitchin.
Yeah, I thought about giving them to you and then thought, no.
No, of course not. No, they're very cool, though.
I know. Aren't they neat looking? Can I tell everybody why I finally had to resort to buying my own headphones?
Because you didn't want ear mung.
Let's talk about these ghetto, gross headphones you have here, Jake.
We've got some ear gunk in them.
Ear gunk. And check out the mic socks.
Yeah.
That's like E. coli waiting to happen.
Took mine off. Not only that, I mean, these things have been around since the Ice Age. They don't work. 90% of them, they're falling apart. The earpieces are coming off. I mean, it's just one headphone, one side works, one side doesn't. So I went out and I invested in my own ear headphones. And let's talk, and aren't they fancy?
They are nice.
They're brown leather and silver and the whole, and I see the envy in your eyes.
No, they're nice. I have to admit, they're very nice. Yeah. And they look very impressive.
I know.
I'm on the other hand, I'm wearing ear mung, as is Jake.
Yeah, well, I mean, lest anybody wonder who's the top dog around here.
Who's the top?
The top
Jillian.
Dog.
That's I think right. You should put your mic sock back on, though, because you don't want to pop.
It might
pop your peas.
It's a little... We can put it back on.
Yeah. You need to put...
Well, that. What if I catch something from it?
Well, you already got it.
It's too late.
It's too late.
You've been exposed.
There.
Right.
There. That sounds
that
much
different?
Better.
Yeah. Okay. So, how's the old drive show going, girl?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot
daily
of work.
Shows are really hard.
Yeah.
People talk about that, whether it's daytime, daily, it's a lot of work.
There's some heavy lifting for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to it. I must admit I'm in the room with all the people. My fitness has gone down. Absolutely. There's no time. There's no time for this. There's no time for that. It's like, wow, you got to really reshape it. I got to get my groove, but you got to reshape it. Now I'm the struggle.
The struggle's real, man.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. Nicole's here with our food. Woohoo. Jake will go get that. So I wanted to bring something up that I thought was interesting because Heidi, it's interesting. Now that the show is obviously, public and everybody can watch it all over the world.
All over the world.
Well, pretty much, yeah. We're getting there. I mean, yeah, a lot of different countries. She's experiencing for the first time haters.
Oh.
And she just, her brain, she can't wrap her head around it. And I'm like, honey, where have you been? Everyone has haters. Oprah, Dane Cook, like Cat Williams, everybody, biggest comedians, the biggest, everybody. And...
Yeah.
I was like, what made you think that everybody would like you? What made you think that? And it got me thinking about how much people actually do care about whether or not they're liked, right?
Mm-hmm.
How it affects them. Even Dane Cook was like, oh my God, he did a whole thing on it. He was like, never Google yourself. After I Google myself, I want to jump off of a roof. It's the worst thing ever. I hated myself. Don't do it. And it really does affect people. And then I saw this little thing and I posted it on Facebook and it was like one of the biggest prisons, is that we give a crap what people think. And I wanted to show you how truly impossible it is to please people, all of the people, and why it's dangerous and subsequently why people are like that. So, for example, on Just Jillian, right, we have, I think it's episode 3 of the show, already aired. I'm doing a photo shoot for Women's Health, and Nicole shows up with what we call the box of boobs,
yes,
right?
Yes, I saw the box.
The box of boobs, the boob inserts, all different kinds of boob inserts for all different kinds of outfits, all different kinds of occasions. So it's like this joke, and I was like, I want to just be transparent, just put it all out there. They're like, what can we shoot? I'm like, everything, I don't care. Shoot it. If I watch it and I think that it's misportrayed because it's, you're not getting the whole conversation, luckily I have mutual control, I can pull it. I was like, shoot it. So we put the box of boobs on TV, right? And to me, I'm like, this is good. This goes to show people, this is transparency. It's like, nobody's perfect. And I want to be transparent. The majority of people were like, oh my God, dying laughing, the box of boobs. Ha ha ha, you're so real. Love you. Okay. Couple of people were like, I hate you, you fraud, you're a fake, I'm so disappointed in you. Because I would use these like fake chicken cutlet inserts.
Yeah.
Okay, so on one hand, you get a group of people being like, oh my God, you're so real, love it, right? The exact same show, the exact same scenario, there's another group of people going, oh my God, you're so fake, I'm so disappointed in you. So who's right and who's wrong there?
Who cares?
You got it. That's exactly it, Jake. Who cares? As long as you're being truthful to yourself, that's the only way to win. Because no matter which way you go, no matter what road you go down, no matter how you behave, there's going to be people that hate you. And the reason is because we see what's inside of us automatically. We presume, we assume, we jump to conclusions because our internal reality of the way we've lived in the past is what's going to shape that dialogue. On Biggest Loser, there are people in the world who thought I was a saint, a savior, an angel, a hero, because that's what they wanted to see and that's what they needed to see. Conversely, there were people who looked at me and I was a monster, a bitch, a horrible, horrible, evil devil, because that's what they needed to see. I was that abusive parent, and they projected that onto me. Of course, I'm neither one of those things. But my point is that it doesn't matter what you choose if you're trying to please other people, because can't, right? You can please some of the people some of the time. Yeah. Can't please all the people all the time. Same thing. So the only way forward is if you get over that notion that it's possible it's not, or that it even matters. Because you're going to find the only person that you really need to please is you, and I mean make happy. And this is not saying, oh, you know, go forth into the world and be a sociopath. No. It doesn't mean, you know, you rape, pillage, and plunder other people. No. But as long as you're not hurting other people to get ahead in your life or to follow your truth, that's what you need to do. End of story, Manus.
But however you're saying about the haters, you know, I totally get how Heidi's been feels like she's been thrown under the bus that way.
Well, you felt that way. Remember once when you read all those comments on iTunes?
Oh, my God. How mean.
And you damaged my greatness.
I damaged your greatness.
Which was true.
And
hashtag
I damaged your greatness.
Hashtag damaged greatness.
And I did, because you know why? Because, and the reason why I can completely empathize with Heidi is because I was I'm not used to being thrown out in kind of spotlight,
yeah,
and judged, you know, when you're here, and Heidi too, when you're just kind of behind the scenes, and all of a sudden your person is like out there for judgment. It's shocking. It's like, wait a minute, what did I do? I'm just living my life. I'm just doing the best I can, and
but
you're
people
exposed.
People need a place to put anger. They really do.
That's such a rarity, though, too. Like very,
what do you mean?
Very rarely will. Okay, so you're saying Jillian's used to being in the spotlight.
Yeah.
The hate comes and goes, but for people like us, you know, we're not celebrities, and then when we get out there, if we do, it's a lot of these eyes on us that were never on us before. That's rare for the common person. Like, no one, you know, very few people have that experience. So, you know.
You think so? See, I think we do every day. I think we do at the office. I think kids do in school.
On a smaller scale.
On a smaller scale. But it does. But this is what I think cripples so many people, is they worry what their coworkers are going to say, what the other moms in the PTA are going to say, what the other kids in class are going to say.
But,
I think it's crippling. And I'm saying,
however,
you'll never win here.
But those people are right there. These are strangers. These are outside people. You don't even. This is like someone in Booga Gaga saying, "I don't like Heidi."
Same thing.
Well, that's what makes it so easy for them to do that, though.
No, I know, but
it's so easy.
But I mean, if I'm at work and someone hates me, I can hopefully deal with that and get.
No, you can't. You cannot, because they probably, unless you ran over their cat or you shit on their desk, they, you know, it's likely that they hate you because you're triggering something in them that they don't like in themselves. So I'm telling you, it's coming from within them. That's what I'm trying to say. When people hate, 9 times out of 10, unless you've had a personal interaction where something has gone wrong in the dynamic, if they meet you and they just don't like you, 9 times out of 10, it's because you're triggering something in them that feels insecure, or where they feels insecure. If you had a parent that was overbearing and abusive, it made you feel less than. There you go. I remind somebody of that. I hate. You know, it just.
I still think there's another element, though, where they're attacking Heidi. And part of it, you have to admit, part of it, there's a lot of people out there who are jealous.
Yeah, sure. That's what
They're not Heidi. That they're not with you. You have.
I don't
to
know that
you.
That's what they're jealous
no,
of.
No, I absolutely think there's part of it.
It doesn't matter where.
You
I
know that's where I am all the time with
I know,
you.
That's true.
I know. Yeah.
Sabotage my greatness.
Greatness. But yeah. but she's getting attacked at a really kind of different level, I believe.
I guess I don't know. I'm used to it. And in fact, if I don't see enough hatred, I get worried. I'm like, uh-oh. Because like, I actually haven't seen a ton of it. Haven't seen a ton of it for just Jillian. It's been a lot of positive, and I'm like, oh no, is that gonna be a problem?
I mean, why? Okay, you know what? Okay,
people don't hate this enough.
I know. I was like, it's not.
Why is that uncomfortable for you though?
Because I do think that like for something to actually have merit, it should. Well, that's not true. We have gotten a lot of racist comments, but that's not new, I guess, and a lot of bigoted comments about. Gay, same-sex couples and all that. We got that, but that's not new. So I think that I feel like if you're living in your truth and you're putting messages of truth out there, then it's going to be, to a certain extent, controversial. And I think that's good. I think it's good for people to kind of open their minds, even if they don't agree. It's good for them to look at it, turn it around, shake it a bit, look inside out, you know, kick the tire, so to speak, because we all could use some evolution and some personal growth. So I was a little worried. I was like, why do people like this show so much? This is not good.
Well, I think, okay, you want to know what I think here?
What do you think, man?
Here's what I think.
Go.
I think you are so used to defending how you live your life and how you, your morals and your values, that when someone possibly goes, I kind of agree with that, it's like, you're like,
it is shocking.
Wait a minute.
I know.
Why aren't you fighting me? So it's like, I think that's
maybe
shocking for you.
It is shocking
and
for sure.
And it's uncomfortable for you because you're so used to like, get out of here. You get out of here.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right. But I do think, though, honestly, the whole reason I bring this up
is not to hear what I just said.
No. That's not. Maybe. I also think when you're extremely successful, you know, the more haters you have, the more successful you are. And they're a sign of success. So I do get worried when we don't get it. Just, it is what it is. Oprah had a ton of haters. Dan Cook has a ton of haters. Like, if you're successful, you have a ton of haters. And when you don't, then I start to get worried. Look at the Kardashians and look how many haters they have. They're freaking American royalty. It's amazing.
I will continue to.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, like, no matter, the more successful you are, the more haters you have. The president of the United States, I mean, no matter, be it, and whether it ends up being Hillary, Donald, Bernie, Ted Cruz, is going to have a gazillion haters. So I just get, to me, that's a sign that you're successful. But the overall agenda, though, of this, the reason I wanted to bring it up is simply because I want to show you how I can put out a rose, a red rose, and 10 people are looking at the rose. 5 people are going to be like, oh my God, that's the most beautiful flower in the world, and the color is amazing, and, you know, the shape is gorgeous or whatever, and the smell is insane. And another 5 people are going to be like, red is an ugly color, it's pedestrian color, the scent is, you know, too floral and disgusting. This is my point. You can't, ultimately, I'm trying to say, you can't win. Don't sit there and rack your brain about how to please everybody or try to mold yourself into something or someone that does, because all that will happen is you will continue to lose and you'll compromise your own integrity and your own happiness in the process.
That's all I'm trying to say.
All right. Well, I'm just not going to talk anymore right now.
No, I thought you...
It's all right. No, okay. I'm gonna teach you something later on.
Has
today.
Anyone seen Manus's hair?
It's the worst.
All right, guys, you've heard of the company Vice, right? Maybe you've seen some of their documentaries on YouTube. Maybe you've read their news articles online. Well, guess what? Vice is now announcing their very own television channel called Viceland TV. It premieres today, February 29th. I'm so excited about this one show called California Soul. And it talks all about the drought in California, how it happened, how we're dealing with it. The absolute bomb. There are shows for anybody and everybody on there. Best quality TV, honest, forthcoming, raw, authentic, cannot say enough good things. For the LGBTQ community, you can also go check out Gaycation. Check out the trailer on Viceland TV. All right, Manus, we're going to talk about something really boring.
You do that all the time. You denigrate. Is that a word? Denigrate?
Yeah, it is
a
word.
You denigrate your wheelhouse.
I'm just telling you. It is boring, but the results.
We like your wheelhouse.
Super sexy, man.
Okay.
Shins.
Shins?
Shins.
You're not calves, shins.
Shins. But here's why. Shins, or the lack of strength therein,
yes,
can significantly diminish your exercise performance. And I think we all know this. How many people, you know, get shin splints?
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
Right? And your shins are essentially the muscle, your tibialis, right? The muscle there, that stops the body. So if you're running, if you're jumping, all of those things,
your brakes,
you're right. All of those things get compromised if you've got weak shins. And people will always ask me, like, what do I do once I have shin splints? And I always say, oh boy, you know, you got to stretch your calves and you've got to ice your shins, right?
Constantly.
But one of the things that you want to do to strengthen the tibialis, well, the first thing is you want to incorporate, because a lot of us have super tight calves. My calves are so tight. It's horrible. I have like horrendous flexibility in my ankle, really bad. Achilles, but terrible. And that also does have the depth of my squat, my range of motion. So first and foremost, like, let's talk about creating flexibility in your calves, because that can help contribute to shin splints. So not only do you want to strengthen your tibialis, but you also want to create more flexibility.
Opposite.
Yeah. Oh, go, Manus, go. Yes. Go, Manus, go. Now, this is going to sound ridiculous, but have you ever seen that little dorsiflexion machine in the gym that you sit on? It's like a little thing you sit on, and dorsiflexion is...
Yes, absolutely.
You basically put your toes under it, and you lift your toes up. That's dorsiflexion. So you're flexing your foot, right? Point your foot, flex your foot, mm-hmm. dorsiflexion, you flexed your foot. Fancy way of saying we flexed our foot. Well, when you look at your foot flexed, what's flexing? The tibialis muscle, the muscle...
Absolutely.
...on the shin bone, right? Yeah. So dorsiflexion. So you can do... the dorsiflexion machine, I would recommend starting out with very lightweight. You can do isometric holds with lightweight. You can do, and I also recommend doing 1 foot at a time. And yes, you're not going to be ripping through fat. This is for performance. So I would do it twice a week. One, you know, a machine twice a week. I mean, it's going to take you 3 minutes for the total of your week. But you'll see a big difference. Another thing you can do is even when you're sitting at your desk, just pull your toes up. And everybody always says, oh, do calf raises. Honestly, do dorsiflexion. Calves are tight. Do dorsiflexion. Strengthen those shins.
Jeez.
What do you think about that, old man, Ooser?
Well, I think it's very good advice.
Do you? Or are you lying?
No, because it's an interesting muscle on the shin. You really look at it.
Well, it's not a sexy muscle, but
I think it's a sexy muscle.
No, dude, it's for faster sprints, higher jumps, and heavier squats.
I like to feel my shin.
So saith.
Yeah.
Here's another one, a little tip that was on Men's Health that I really liked. Shorten your running stride, which I actually have always said, the minute your foot leaves the ground, bam, get it right back out in front of you. You can reduce your risk of injury by shortening your stride because it's less jarring on the body. It eases impact.
Well, when you think about it, because I have to shorten, not that I run that much anymore, but when you're reaching for your stride, you're doing all kinds of screwy things to your body.
Also reaching, right? And if you land on the heel, think about it. You're in dorsiflexion. That's your braking movement.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why it's the forefront strike, right? Slight forward lean, and it's like you... We've done that. We've talked about this. Like thinking.
I know.
Like grabbing the ground like a little T-Rex with your foot.
Wow.
I'm telling you. These are genius.
All right.
You don't like it?
No, it's good.
What about walking the weight? Do you like that one?
I do like
that one. I mean, we've seen this for years. Pharma carries where you hold the dumbbells and you walk. But, oh, my God, my forearms go on me on those the pharma carries. They kill me. So, I mean, you can carry it overhead. You can make your arms a 90-degree angle, and you can work the biceps.
Kills my biceps, but
Right? I mean, but it's good. But it's good, though. You can do suitcase carries, which is like a single arm, which forces you to work your stability.
You taught me that. To take
single side load.
Yeah, when I do the lunges, to just put it in one hand. And I just didn't want to believe you. But
bear hugs with a bag is another good one. So this way, obviously, you've got weight, but you're also working the upper body and holding the weight.
You know what my niece taught me?
Which teacher? Which teacher, Smelly?
She taught me how to do the hay bale hoist, because my niece is a great horsewoman.
What does that look like?
Well, when you take, you know how heavy a bale of hay is, you should know, horsewoman.
Okay.
A bale of hay is very heavy.
Got a lot of bugs in it too. Yeah.
But you know what? When you grab the baler twine, right? It's not always easy. Okay. You can't just hoist it. So you use your knee and you hoist it with your knee. It's like a can-can kick. It's like this.
So
it's the hay bale lift. My niece Deanne, I'm telling you, she could take you down in a heartbeat. Strong. Just like this. Hip. Use your hips. What's the strongest part of your body, Jillian? Right around here. Right in the goodie bag. All around here. All where all my loving happens is where I'm strong. That's the area.
But you're not having any loving. You haven't for years. Hey, you know, Jake left us and he just left the mic running.
I know.
We really kidding this whole time?
Yes. I don't know.
Wow. We should have timed him. This one was a lot longer than a minute and a half.
I know. We're on like 7.
Do you think he's okay? Oh, my God. We should check on him.
Should we?
Nicole, go in there.
Go into the men's bathroom. Okay.
Nicole, go in the men's bathroom. Go get Jake.
Sorry.
All right, guys, we're talking about plated right now. You know it's been on your mind all day because last night's dinner was, in a word, delicious. And you cannot wait to do it again in the kitchen tonight with plated. Plated is for busy people who love cooking fresh, exciting new dishes, but don't have the time to drive all over town searching for chef quality ingredients. And with plated, you don't have to. Here's how it works. Go to plated.com/Jillian and choose from amazing chef design recipes each week. You'll find easy to prepare selections that you can make in under 30 minutes. Then the culinary pros at plated are going to lovingly fill a refrigerated box with all the perfect pre-portioned ingredients for your dinner. So nothing is wasted. Everything is delivered straight to your door, whether it's meat, poultry, veggies, spices, anything and everything you need on the day you need it. And no worries if you're not home. Your plated box will keep everything fresh until midnight on the day it arrives. Hurry over to plated.com/Jillian now and get 2 meals free. That's right, 2 meals free. Plated.com/Jillian. That's plated.com/Jillian. I just discovered something. What? I didn't even know Jake was in a relationship, and he just got dumped. Oh, this will make so many Twitter people happy. Not that... Poor Jake.
I didn't know Jake was in a relationship.
I didn't either.
I didn't
bleep that, Janice.
I didn't tell you guys because I didn't want to... I don't know. I didn't want
to... You want us to scare her away.
I didn't want to overthink it and, you know, jinx it or anything.
And look what happened. You didn't tell us, and I wasn't able to jump in and say, this bitch is bad news.
She was no. She's really good. She was good.
What happened, Jacob?
It got heavy. It's been heavy for like 2 months.
Oh.
And, okay. She'd always been kind of distant.
Whack. This is your thing, honey.
Right. But
you and you're like, gotta win him over. Gotta change him. Gotta win him over because you're.
But it wasn't the same as that always is. It was a little different. She was sure that she just needed time to open up, and that's the kind of person she is.
Uh huh. Okay.
But it just ended last night, and she just came over and wanted to talk, and, you know, she she knows that I want to be in a relationship, and that's exactly what I want, and she likes me a lot, but she's not sure that's what she wants, so it's not fair, and she doesn't think that's going to change, so.
But, honey, let's go back to this, right? Maya Angelou, okay? When people show you who they are, believe them. The first thing she said to you is, I don't really open up. I have issues with intimacy. And here we are. The question you have to ask yourself is why you were like, but I can change her.
No, see, the thing is, everyone was telling me just like lean back and give it time and let her come to you.
That's a game, sweetheart. That's a game. That's a game. Well, here's how you play this game. And you can. I was the queen of knowing how to play that game. Is that, and then I got to a
it's
point.
It's called the dance.
Yeah.
The dance.
And, yeah. It's exhausting. It's so vomitous. Yeah. Hate it. And like, and that's the thing. Like with Heidi, you know, we both legitimately had just gotten out of relationships. I'd gotten out of a series of crappy relationships. I, for the first time, really was like, God, I really, really don't want to be in a relationship. I'm loving being single and just worrying about me. She was like the same way. And it was, oh, maybe we'll be friends, you know, with benefits. And there was just no games. And it ended up here. But the thing is, sure, you can win a person like that over by distancing them, by not calling, by playing games, because you'll trigger all the reasons. You can trigger their screwed up childhood, right? And you can be the bad parent. And then they're like, oh, daddy, love me. Ugh, puke. You're better than this, babe. You're better than this. And you can play those games if you want to. But the thing is, you'll never. That's not true intimacy. Okay, that's dysfunctional shit that you're playing out from your childhood. And the thing is, sweetie, she told you right away, hey, I'm so screwed up, I need these games to care, to be interested. But you didn't even hear that because you're so busy playing out your stuff of like, ha ha ha, here I go with the cold mother again. Let me jump right in. And this time, I will make it better.
Yeah, I mean, I also didn't talk to you guys about it because in the beginning, like, her and I had, like, little arguments about things where, you know, I'd be putting in all this effort to, like, you know, I'd show up at her work and bring her a coffee or something during finals and, like, you know, really sweet things like that, and it wasn't being returned at all. And I, you know, I'd get frustrated, and I would say, like, you know, not to be, like, a little bitch here, but I want the intimacy, too. I want to feel wanted and stuff like that. And we talked all about that and stuff, and She convinced me that it was just like that she just needed time to get there.
Ugh.
And I don't, maybe, who knows, maybe that's who she is or not or whatever.
That is who she is.
But
she'll be the same way in another relationship.
And I convinced myself that I was good with that, but we just, the longer it went on, the more like frustrated I would get with these things like why aren't you excited about this? Or like, how come you're not showing me that you appreciate this? But then, you know, other times it would be really good.
We're gonna play a game. Are you ready? Okay. Here we are. I'm going to be her right now. And I want you to say everything that you feel.
I don't know.
No, do it. Go.
Everything that I feel about what?
Everything you feel. Why aren't you excited? Why don't you appreciate this? Why don't you blank? Go. Just puke everywhere. Go. Hit it.
How come?
Take notes. Go.
How come you don't, you know, I don't feel like you think about me when you're out during your day or whatever, and you don't, you know, you mentioned this record that I had, and I brought it over, and I, you know, it was cute, or like I made these little cards for you for your birthday, and I don't know, just
keep going,
just cute little boyfriend shit that I enjoy doing, mm-hmm. and it makes me feel good to see somebody enjoy it, mm-hmm. but how come it wasn't returned at all? I don't know. That's
keep going.
I don't feel weird.
Nope, keep going.
And just, like, how come, you know, I'm always the one to, like, say cute things or, like, compliment you and stuff. And it's returned, but very slightly. And it doesn't feel like you're that interested, even though you say you are.
I can't trust Nicole to take these notes, even though I know I can. I'm taking them down anyway. Go on.
She'd say she was interested and tell me how much she likes me and everything, and that would keep me going and saying, okay, well, you know what, just give it time. And that's what the closest people to me, like my therapist and my dad, and everyone's like, yeah, you know, you're too much into it, give it time. But deep down, like, I knew, like, that's, if I feel that way, I feel that way, so I should be in a relationship that it's being returned in, you know. But everyone, like all the people close to me, told me, like, that's not how it is. And so I was like, maybe I am just going too forward with this, maybe I am, it's too quick or whatever. But if you like somebody and they like you, they should show you the same way you show them.
Okay. Well, first, let's talk about how you feel. Okay. So now I want you to take these thoughts. All right. And I want you to say them to your mother.
There was a night where we were laying in bed and she goes, do you think that, you know, on one hand, that the reason we argue is because you're afraid of certain things and you're manifesting them yourself, and maybe there's something from your past that, you know.
But
and
honey, she like, you can't play out a pattern unless there's an inherent similarity.
Well, right. And then she goes, is there something from your past, you know, that these things that you keep asking for, you know, you didn't get? And I was like, she's so smart. And I was like, yeah, you know, my mother was, you know, cold to me, and like either things would be my fault sometimes, or she would tell me how much she loves me, but then everything would be my fault and push and pull me back and forth. and that like true consistent loving affection wasn't there.
These are the things you just said. Read those things back to me, and this time, instead of seeing her, see your mom.
How come you don't think about me? How come it was never returned? I'm always the one to make the effort, and it doesn't feel like you're interested in me.
Don't see her. See your mom when you say those things.
For the most part, I can, but not. Mom's a little different. Mom's a little more like malicious in the games that she plays with me, and it's obvious.
You don't think this is malicious in the games this girl's playing?
No, because she's so sweet.
Oh yeah, she sounds sweet, Jake. No, baby.
It didn't feel the same, you know? Like, do you remember, like, a year and a half ago, that girl that did this, that played those games with me, and that I totally played into it? That girl reminded me of my mom.
But, sweetie, how come you don't think about me? Why don't you think about my feelings? Why don't you think about how this is affecting me? Why don't you care how I feel? How come it was never returned when I tried, as your son, to reach you, to make you love me, to win you over, to make you happy? It wasn't received. You were never happy about it, which is what you said about this girl. You didn't appreciate it. It didn't work. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for your mom, and it's not enough for her. And it was never returned. It was never reciprocal. And overall, it doesn't feel like you're interested in me. It doesn't feel like you give a shit. And you keep dating the same girl in a different shell over and over and over again. Because the reality, honey, is that you are still trying to comprehend how it's possible that your mother, the most primary, primal relationship of our lives, okay, could feel or act this way towards you. I can explain it to you.
No, I understand it, and I'm making a connection now that's actually interesting. There are periods in my life where I don't talk to my mom because we've had like a really big thing, and I go, I'm just done with it. We won't speak for months. And it doesn't happen often. It happens like once a year, but it's within that period that I end up dating somebody similar. Because the last time that happened was really big, and it was with that girl a year and a half ago.
Right.
And the thing is, there was this girl a couple months ago before this one that I had been introduced to by my grandmother, and everyone, my dad, and everyone was like, oh, we love her. She's so sweet. She's so perfect. And for, you know, I was so into it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I just lost interest, and I wasn't digging it. I didn't feel it.
Right. Right. And there's a host of things going on there, babe. And it's intimacy, it's self-worth, it's playing out these dysfunctional patterns because you're like, well, if she likes me, what's wrong with her? Guarantee you. And then it's like, you know, you're charged by this chase of like, no, I'm compelled to heal this part of myself. And if I win this screwed up girl over, I'll be better. I will be complete. I'll be whole. I'll be good enough because I could never fix my mom. And the sad thing here is that we can talk about this all day long, but the problem is you need to really just be so upset and so angry about that. And then...
And I was. Like, it was upsetting me the whole time.
I mean, sweetie, like, schedule time to be upset. Schedule time to be angry. Schedule time to cry. Like, allow yourself to feel all these things you need to feel. And in time, you'll start to understand that I could tell you now this has nothing to do with you. I could tell you right now. It has nothing to do with you, which is, as a child, impossible to understand. After years of therapy and becoming a parent, it becomes abundantly clear. And it's like you think, I remember thinking, I'm a parent. I'm going to know exactly what to say. I'm going to know exactly what to do. This is obvious, isn't it? Isn't it obvious to know what the right thing to do is? And, you know, and as a kid, you're like, I don't understand. You know, how come I didn't come first? Why didn't you live for me? Why did you make all these mistakes? How come I wasn't enough? And then all of a sudden, the kid is born, and you're still effed up. You still have all your issues and all your shit. And it didn't go anywhere. And not only that, if you're totally unrecovered, then you play that stuff out with your kid. I mean, I've been in situations, me, okay, with Lou, where, you know, Lou rejects you if she feels rejected. And she'll be like, oh, I miss the Aunt Hallie. I want Hallie, like if I have to travel for work. Is Hallie coming tomorrow? I want Hallie to take me to school. I don't want to go to lunch with you. I'm going to play with Hallie. And because I'm so effed up, right? I was like, I'd be like, all right, great. Go with Hallie. Phoenix and I will go get ice cream. Whoa. And I saw myself doing it, Jake. I knew what I was doing. And it still came out of my mouth. And I literally, like, got on the phone with my shrink, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm saying I can't stop myself from saying it. I can't stop it from coming out of my mouth. And because it triggered my feelings of rejection, and I did the same thing. And I was like, oh, my God, it's a five-year-old, you sick freak. It's a five-year-old. And I had to, because I love my kids so much, I was like, okay. And he's like, I want you to force yourself on her. Be like, it's not a choice. You're coming with me. And that's what she needs, right? She needs to see. And it did work. But the point is, honey, that I could be so abusive in that moment as me, as somebody with all the tools that I've had and all the years of therapy, and still, I'm still effed up, right? And I still make so many mistakes, and it's not because I don't love my kid. Your mom doesn't even understand what she's doing. She's so screwed up, she doesn't even know she's screwed up. She doesn't even see it. She's
well, that's what makes it so frustrating when I try to talk to her. Just, I can't get through to her when I'm talking to her, and it's the most frustrating thing ever.
And you probably won't. And that, like, but the, and the key with that is to A, set boundaries so she can't hurt you in the way that she has, right? It's like, I'm not going to engage in a conversation about this because it's a danger territory, or I'm not going to share that, and I'm not going to let you know about this, which is cause for anger and cause for grief and cause for sadness. Because it sucks. It really sucks a lot. It's unfair and it's a bummer. And you have every right to be upset about it. And then the other part of it is, like, you know, you can communicate, like, Mom, please don't speak to me this way. It really hurts me. Jake, you're crazy. Who knows what she'll, you know, you're nuts. Oh, you're sensitive, or whatever she'll say to you. And then it's like, I'm going to go. I love you. I'm going
to
go.
And that's what I've put in place to the best of my ability lately, is keeping it, like, on a friend level with her. To where it's like, you know, I'm not going to tell you too much about my life. And then when I talk to you, I just talk to you for a short whatever. And then that's that. And it's been working, but it gets her really frustrated because she, you know, she's like, well, why don't you talk to your dad about this? Or like, I'm sure you're very open with it.
Have you said because it always ends up in a
fight? Oh, yeah. I've been like, I just can't do this with you because it kills me and you end up hurting me, so I just, you know, you have to understand that. And she's like, I don't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Immediate defense mechanism.
But
yeah.
Anyways, it's...
Yeah.
When I was... During this relationship with this girl...
Do you think your mom would go to some therapy sessions with
you? I couldn't do it. I've done it when I was really young, and she just sat there and lied to the therapist.
Oh.
But that was me being, like, a kid. Like, I don't know. I think I was, like, 12 or 13 or, like, maybe younger. Or maybe
so
a little
sorry.
I don't know. But yeah, she, like, straight up lied to the therapist and said, like, this and that.
You want the truth? I bet you she doesn't even think she's lying.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that.
I bet she's totally delusional.
And the things that she was saying that I would do, if they, like, the ones that were truths were my reactions to how things were going on around me. And I'm a kid. What do you expect? I'm reacting as a kid, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So I understand it all, but it's just, it's too frustrating. I wouldn't want to do that with her.
Yeah. I hear you, babe.
Does the cycle? I mean,
yeah.
Please, Jake. I don't know. I don't mean. I'm not trying to make it like
it only.
Does the cycle ever end? Because
yes.
I don't want to be that daunting on Jake's.
Well, I'm,
you know,
but only
feelings.
Only if you do that deeper work. Only if you really, really grieve. I kind of think of it almost like being an alcoholic, right? Are you not an alcoholic anymore? Are you sober?
Right.
Same thing. Like, those issues still come up, but you have to go. Oh, there it is. And then you gotta go, there it is, and I know where it goes, so I've gotta find the strength to do the opposite thing. So, like, I brought this lovely thing to this girl, and she was unappreciative. Oh, here we go again. Instead of, like, hold on, I'm gonna bring a diamond ring next time. You know, you go, oh, eesh, nah, let me lose that number. Let me lose that number, and it's like an addiction. It's an addiction. It's the same kind of thing.
That's
the pattern.
What I was going to say. Because for Jake, because I get, because, you know, I get I get his kind soul. He's a kind soul, and I can get that. Making a card, bringing a coffee, like all those things that are so touching. So it's almost like he has to. You're saying that becomes the addiction.
It becomes the, like, I will make you love me. I will make, and that person, okay, right? That dynamic, you get addicted to the dynamic of the push,
yes,
and the pull,
yep,
and the, yeah, I'll make you love me and I'll fix it. I can do it. I will be it. I can make it happen. And I just think to myself, like, if my son, like the other day, you know, the show, one of the episodes of the show was airing and he gave Heidi a rock and he's like, it's a lucky rock, mommy. And for him, you know, that's all he's got to give. He's three,
yeah,
right? He's of a painting or something. It's a lucky rock, mommy. And Heidi's such a good mom. Doesn't discipline him enough, in my personal opinion. But other than that, is such a great mom. And, you know, she was like, oh, this cherished rock, this amazing gift. And I mean, imagine, Jake, had your mom been like, oh, this rock, Jake, you're so thoughtful. What a wonderful boy you are. Imagine how that would affect you. The next girl that was like, shits all over your coffee, you'd be like, screw this bitch. That's how you'd be.
Yeah.
But instead, you're like, okay, the rock's not enough. Maybe it's, let me bring a gem. Ah, I have the lump of gold. Huh? Yes? No. A 10-carat diamond? Huh? Yes? No. And you keep going back to a well that's dry. But because your self-esteem is so damaged, because you're like, it's never been enough. It's never been enough. It's never been enough. Then the girl that looks in you is like, you're enough. You're like, what the hell's the matter with you?
Exactly. That's what happened right before this girl. And that's why I told her, like, I can't see you anymore. I'm just not, sorry, I don't feel it.
Isn't that so, oh, it's so true.
And when I was in this relationship, though, I realized, though, I had made a mistake. And I realized that the girl before her was something special and that I, you know, I told her, sorry, I can't see you. But the whole time I was thinking about her going, geez, Wendy was so sweet to me. Like, she was so thoughtful. And like, even after I dumped her, she still had a birthday gift for me. Like, she fixed my boot because the zipper was broken. She comes over, gives me a sweater with my favorite cartoon on it and a Bukowski book that I haven't read yet. And a nice little note with it. And I was just like, wow, thanks. And I threw it on my desk and I was just like, huh. You know, see you later.
Because she was you.
And that's
and
the date.
Seen in the mirror.
Yeah.
Right? Wendy is Jake.
Yeah.
Doing her own thing with her. Whatever,
yeah,
her primary, sure, thing was.
Oh my God, we're all with this. But at some point though, baby, and even like, even as healthy as I thought my relationship with Heidi was, I discovered, whew, wow, she's my mom, not my dad. And that was a whole new experience. I had no idea the things I was going to uncover, which is a whole other segment, you know, but it's like, even I was like, we're so healthy, look at us. And then I was like, oh my God, look at this mess. That's a whole other mess. But the hope is that you love each other enough in those situations. And I'm her dad and her mom. I'm not needy like her mom can be. And I'm not vulnerable. And I'm aggressive like her father could be. So it's like I'm both of those nightmares for her. And the hope is that you find someone, though, where you can work through it. And it is receptive, where it's like, you know, I feel like you're helpless. And then it makes me feel like I'm alone. And then instead of like coming up against a wall, you could be like, okay, I hear you. How can I step up in the way that you need me to step up, right? The hope is that you can work through it with somebody that's a little healthier. You know, had you said to this girl, it hurts my feelings when you crap all over my coffee or you bring me nothing, if she was like, you're right, I have these issues. And the next time you brought coffee, she was like, Jake, this is the best coffee I've ever had. You know, that's, you're going to find somebody who's broken, but who's hopefully, we're all broken, but is hopefully strong enough and evolved enough to be able to look at it and be like, okay, God, I didn't like to hear that. God, I didn't want to see that. But you can keep those lines of communication open, mm-hmm, and try to work through it as a team. But this, baby, this is a bigger thing right now. Right now, this is like, you got to work through this at its source, not with another girl. You can't work through issues with your mom through a different human. You know what, Angel? I think where you need to be working on this is in therapy, where it belongs, about your mom. You know, that, and the minute you see these patterns right now, disengage as soon as you can. to protect yourself. Disengage. Walk away from the bar. You know what I'm saying?
It's so hard
to. Put the credit card and the cube of ice in the freezer.
You get out of here! You get out of here!
What is Manis doing, guys?
Don't you remember from the best line when...
Okay.
Dip, 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 dip.